Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I am here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers. But first, a tiny bit of comic book news. I only got one thing I want to talk about, but it's pretty important. IDW has announced that they are renewing their license with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles project or product. So they are going to be continuing in doing the books for the Turtles. This includes a couple new things that they've announced. Entitled, we got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin 2, The Re-Evolution. So it's a sequel to The Last Ronin. And also, there's a couple different things here, so I'm going through it. Okay, yeah, in addition, they are going to continue the ongoing, the one that's hitting 150 this year. And they have revealed that they do have a, and I'm going to use the exact quote here, an incredible publishing plan that will thrill long-time fans. Definitely some other series. They don't have specific announcements for it yet, but it does look like they're going to continue to do some new stuff. And yeah, very, very interesting. My niece is a big Teenage Mutant Turtles fan, so that's something that's definitely on my radar, and I'm excited to see it. So, but that's it. That's all the news. We're going to be quick and easy with the news today, so let's talk about the comics. And as always, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. Boom Studios is my first publisher. I got the single Boom book this week, which is Firefly, The Fall Guys, number 4. Written by Sam Humphries, illustrated by Jordi Perez, colored by Francesco Segala with Gloria Martinelli, and lettered by Jim Campbell. So this is that ongoing Firefly mini about them being framed for the attempted murder of the leader of the Republic and them trying to like clear their names, but also defend themselves while in this little bubble. And it's really great. It's been a really great run so far. Zoe has gone kind of MIA, I guess would be the word I would use. she's gone MIA from the rest of the group on her own thing. So the rest of them are trying to defend themselves. And it's been a lot of fun balancing themselves versus, of course, this, you know, domineering governmental force, but also this rival group of people that tried to frame them. So it's been a really great struggle. It's something I've really been enjoying. And I like Firefly. I wasn't buying Firefly books for a while, but I think I'm back in on it. And this is a really good one to jump in if you are curious to see what's going on in Firefly. Very good. That is my only Boom book of the week. So we're going to go ahead and move on to our next publisher, which is Massive. So I got a single book from Massive this week, but I am so excited to talk about this book, guys. This is Zorro, Man of the Dead. This is the big return for Zorro back to comics, and creative team on this is just so good. Drawn by Sean Gordon Murphy, colored by Simon Goh, and lettered by DC Hopkins. It's such a cool idea. So it's a Zorro tale, but it's not about the Zorro we know. The Zorro we know is I guess like a folk hero, and it's almost like a legend. Like he's almost like legendary, and he might be real, he might not, but I assume he's real based on what they've said. But he, it's this modern generation inspired by him, and so it's this newer Zorro, and also a second main character who is just really complicated. I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but imagine like a Zorro that has to take on the cartel. That's the pitch for this, and I think it's a really great idea. Like, this is a really creative, interesting way to tell a modern Zorro story, and something that hooked me immediately. I'm very, very happy with it, and I'm recommending it to everybody who has any interest whatsoever in Zorro. It's definitely a pickup in that case. So, so once again, that is Zorro, Man of the Dead, number 1. It's out from Massive, formerly Whatnot, and really, really good. I highly recommend it. All right, our next publisher is Dynamite Comics. And I got the one Dynamite book this week, which is the new Disney Villains, Cruella de Vil, number 1. This one's written by Sweeney Boo, art by Mariana Puglia, colored by Ellie Wright, lettered by Jeff Eckelberry. And I like this one. I've been liking the Disney Villains stuff and how they're doing different things with them. like how the Scar one and the Maleficent ones were prequels. The Hades one was kind of like a side story type thing. This one is a sequel to the 101 Dalmatians animated movie, where Cruella is now out of jail, but everybody hates her because she's a dog killer, and it's her trying to redeem her image. And it's really good. It's really great. I personally, I really like the Cruella movie, the one with Emma Stone. I actually really liked that movie. Of the live action Disney movies, it's probably my favorite, unless you count Christopher Robin, which is amazing. But no, it's got a very good vibe of that, and it feels like a sequel to that movie to me. So I really like it. I thought it was a really good start. Cruella is a very interesting villain with a very interesting past and something to really overcome. So very good. If you are liking the Disney villains runs, this is a great addition to that. So just pick it up. After that is Dark Horse Comics. I got two Dark Horse books this week. The first one is Quick Stops Volume 2, Number 2. This one, of course, is getting the creative team up real quick. I mean, I know it. Written by Kevin Smith, art by Ahmad Rafat, and letter by Andrew Thomas. This is continuing the origin of how Movie the Cow was created. And it's got this amazing, it's got a great like documentary style story where it's like, oh, it came up with this idea, but it's tinged with this like just crazy sex and drugs, and it's just so much fun. And I love the storytelling method of the biographer interviewing the older woman, just getting shocked by all this. I thought it was really great way to deliver it. And it's really interesting. It's leaving me wondering where we're going to go next, because there's a really good shocking few moments in this book that leaves us off on a really nice cliffhanger. So I like it. I like it a lot. That's really good. I really like the first run of Quick Stops. And I do like that the second volume is very focused one story. So if you're a VSQ fan, this is a must read. Very cool. The other Dark Horse book is Terrace Apart Number 4, seemingly the finale. Written by J. Baruchel and Van Jansen, illustrated by Alessandro Michelli, letter by Taylor Esposito. So the boy and the girl who escaped from this assassin cult, I guess, they are trying to get away, but no, they need to make a stand. They need to stand against their enemies. And they're joined by this older man who reveals that he also escaped at one point, and the lady that took them in. And it was really cool. It's really violent. It was a very violent book, but I really like it. And I just love these characters. I love their design. There's a real heart to them. For such an action and violence-based book, there's such a really good deep heart in the middle of it. So I thought this was a great run. If they did something more with these characters, I would definitely be picking it up. But yeah, if it is just a four-issue run, pick it up. It's really easy, and it'll make a nice trade. So, all right. Well, we're going to move on to our next publisher, which is Image Comics. That's right. We are already at Image, guys. It wasn't a big week. Image Comics. I got Star Signs Number 7. Oh my god. Written by Asaladin Ahmed, art by Megan Levens, colored by Kelly Fitzpatrick, and letter by Sean Lee. We do get to meet another star sign, which is really cool. And we get to see how the bad guy side of the star signs, there's some dissension in the ranks, which we got kind of teased in the last issue. It gets furthered in this one, but it still leads to a conflict between them. And it leads to a pretty shocking moment that was, man, not something I saw coming. To be fair, if I review it, it was telegraphed a little bit at the beginning of this issue, but it's not something I thought they would actually do. And it does leave me wondering what's going to happen next. This is a really good twist, and it's a really good next step in the story as far as what is going to happen. I'm not sure. And we'll see. I'm very excited though. Next Image book is Fish Flies Number 4. This one is, everything's done by Jeff Lemire except the lettering, which is Steve Wands, and there's some background art assist by Beatrix Green. This one is so good. Fish Flies has been a real highlight to me, and I really think everybody should be reading this book, especially if you like Jeff Lemire already. It would be difficult to catch you up if you don't know what's going on, but a young girl is on the run from an abusive home, and her friend is a fly man. That's the easiest way to put it. Like I said, it's difficult to catch up, but it's really interesting. And I really like the characterization of her. I've said this in the past. She uncomfortably, but in a good way, reminds me of a lot of people I grew up with. As someone who grew up a chunk of my life in Oklahoma, in kind of the sticks of Oklahoma, I see a lot of her in the kids I grew up with, the kids I went to school with. And yeah, it really impacts me pretty strongly, even though I believe this is a Canadian story. But it's really good. It's just so good. It might be my favorite Jeff Lemire thing he's done. And I really like Jeff Lemire. I love May's book. Like, this is really good. And they're big, thick issues. I should mention that. They have spines. Very, very good book. After that is Sacrificers 6. This book is written by Rick Remender, art by Max Fiamara, colored by Dave McCaig, and letter by Russ Wooten. This book, more than any other book out there right now, just does not pull punches. Like, that's what I'll say for this. Like, every issue, I'm like, I just expect them to lighten up a little bit. And that sounds horrible. It's not that kind of, I don't mean it as an insult, but it's just kind of like, it's just punch after punch after punch. And just things keep happening. Some serious things, big plot points happen every issue. And it's just like, holy crap. It's just like a downward spiral of this violence and twists, and there's no breathers, but it's not exhausting. It's really good. I really, really like this book. And it's one of the few comics I can say that I legit have no idea what's going to happen. Like, there's a couple ideas I think might happen, but every time I read an issue, something completely different happens than what I thought would happen. So it's got me on the edge of my seat. Really good book. Next up is Transformers number 4, written and drawn by Daniel Warren Johnson, colored by Mike Spicer, and lettered by Russ Wooten. This is continuing on this new Transformers run, and this is a really good issue to highlight Optimus and the kind of highlight the differences between the Decepticons and the Autobots, specifically the intense love and care that Optimus has for all living creatures, essentially. And the sacrifices he'll make, even if it's, you know, not necessarily for the greater good, to help anybody. And yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think it's a very good contrast to what the Decepticons do in the issue. This has been a really great run. And I love this new Energon universe so far. Everything that's coming out for it has been really, really great. If you are a Transformers fan, just highly recommend jumping in. Daniel Warren Johnson is just this is a creative genius, and it's definitely going to be something you'll want to pick up. After that is Deep Cuts number 4. I'm so glad this came back. It was like a gap, and I was worried it got canceled or something, which is really dumb because it's fantastic. Creative team, Kyle Higgins, Joe Clark, Ramon Perez, Igor Monti, and Hassan Atsmani Alhau. This is continuing this anthology of stories about the history of music. And this one is about a really interesting character that had all these problems throughout his life, and that he had this just absolutely preternatural ability to play music, and the story of how there's really only this one recording of his and the magic of this recording. And then he passes away shortly thereafter. And it's done in like a documentary style, looking back over his life and talking about this one magical night and how great and how talented he was. I think it's really interestingly told. I really enjoyed Deep Cuts. This is a book that I highly recommend to everybody. It's, if you're a music nerd like me, it's just so good. And it's just, yeah, been really good. I'm very curious to see how far we're going to go with this, because there's at least one more issue. So we'll see. But I could deal with like this being an ongoing. I know that'd be a difficult thing to maintain, but yeah, very, very cool. After that is Swan Songs 6. Now, this might be the finale. I'm not sure. Written by W. Maxwell Prince, art by Martin Morazzo, letters by good old Neon. This is, of course, Swan Songs, the anthology about different endings. And this one actually contains a series of poems, which I thought was really great. This is, I've been told, of course, there's some Ice Cream Man stuff in here. I've not read Ice Cream Man. I know I'm a terrible comic book critic because everybody talks about it, but I just didn't get in on the beginning and I find it hard to keep up. And I spend so much on comics as it is. It's something that just kind of got skipped and it's something I'll go back to later with a trade or something like that. But yeah, I did enjoy what I've read here. I really like Swan Songs. It's very creative. Very disturbing in a lot of ways, but also like there's a lot of heart too. Definitely a book I would recommend to a non-comic book reader because it's just very like impactful. Yeah, if you like anthology stories with maybe a bit of a twist, your traditional ones like your Black Mirrors or your Twilight Zone, something like that, that might be something that's up your alley. But then there's also a creative edge to this that they just do things that they don't need to do to be really creative. And I love it. Like this one being basically a poem anthology. Like one of the previous ones being a choose your own adventure or Mad Lib, if you will, like very cool. I just, they're having a lot of fun with it, I think. After that is Adventure Man Ghost Lights number one. That's right. Adventure Man's back, baby. I love Adventure Man, and I've been waiting for this book to come back. Script by Matt Fraction, art by Terry Dodson or Rachel Dodson, colored by Terry Dodson, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. We are back with the Adventure Man story. It is one of two, so I don't know if this is just to wrap up the story or if it's just going to be a side mini while they work on the main book. I don't know. I love Adventure Man, and I don't want this book to end because I think it's like it's the Dodsons. The Dodsons should always have a comic book on the shelves. Because they're just so beautiful to look at. But I really like this story in general. I love the classic superhero steampunk like Rocketeer era feel of it. I think it's very interesting. And I think the characters are just amazing. I love the main character. She's absolutely gorgeous. I love her love interest. I think he's just such an interesting character. And it's just a really interesting world that we have barely scratched the surface of. So I really want to see more for it. My final book for Image this week is Crave number two. This one is from Maria Lovett, story and art. Lettering by Maria Lovett, but the logo design by Jesus Orellana. This is that ongoing story about an app on your phone and you just tell it what you crave and it tells you how to get it, if it's possible. And it's really intense and I really dig it. I think it's very interesting. I love Marie Lovett's art. It's always been a favorite of the show. And it's just a really great showcase of that. And it's also very twisted. It's got a darkness to it that is really interesting and something that I wasn't sure to expect when the book started, but I love it. I love it so much. Definitely like early on one of my favorites of the year so far. So very cool. All right. Next publisher is DC. Let's talk about some DC books, starting with Fables 161, only one issue left of the Black Forest. This one is written and created by Bill Willingham, penciled by Mark Buckingham, inked by Steve Lealoa, colored by Lee Lefferidge and lettered by Todd Klein. I won't get too much into it because we only got one issue left and I'll probably give it more of a spotlight then. But yeah, it's the continuing battle over the forest and all these different sides, you know, doing their thing. Really big moment with Bigby. I thought it was very interesting. I think the highlight of the book for me was the stuff with Cindy in this issue. I think that was really interesting, especially with King Cole. Maybe laying the ground floor for something further later on. But overall, it's been a really good run. Obviously, Fables has some baggage with it now, which I'm not going to get into right now. But it's been a decent postscript on the original run. Next up is Action Comics 1061, a new era of Action Comics. I will go on record as saying that I really very much enjoyed the last run of Action Comics that just ended. It is the comic that got me back into Superman and made me care about Superman again. But I have high hopes for this run too. Written by Jason Aaron, art by John Timms, color by Rex Locus, and lettered by Dave Sharp. This one is, it's going to be focused around Bizarro. And a kind of cool twist on the take on Bizarro. I'm not going to get into specifics to spoil or anything like that, but something happens with Zorro. He changes. And in doing so, he becomes a very different threat. And I this is a little controversial for me because I actually like anti-hero Bizarro a lot. I love him in the Webtoon series with Red Hood and Artemis. But I mean, I'm not one of those people that's like, only my thing is good. No, I actually really enjoy this story. And I'm very curious to see where it's going to go. Jason Aaron obviously can tell an amazing story. I have full trust in there. The art is really good. My only worry is Action Comics is kind of the book that I look to for the Super Family to get a spotlight. And I'm a little worried this is going to be very Superman-centric, very Superman and Lois-centric. And I'm hoping the rest of the team shows up. But other than that, I really like the start. I think it's really good. If you're a Jason Aaron fan, it's definitely a pickup for you. But yeah, I'm on. I'm still pulling it, and I will be for the foreseeable future. After that is Green Lantern number 7. This one is written by Jeremy Adams, art by Aman K. Nahopan. There we go. Color by Ramiro Fajardo Jr., letter by Dave Sharp. So we do jump back after this like 6-issue run of talking about what's going on with Hal now and where he's at. And after we got a pretty big reveal in the last issue, we jump back and we explore how did we get here. And it answers a lot of great stories. I think that the logic of quarantining Earth from the perspective of the people in charge makes sense. It's obviously not a good decision, but it makes sense. You can see where they would get to that decision. I'm actually really enjoying this run. I am very happy to see other Green Lanterns show up because I'm not the biggest Hal fan. I am much more of a Guy Gardner fan, and there's a great Guy Gardner moment. I also love Sojourner. I like Simon Baz, actually. I like Jessica Cruz. And get to see bits of them. So I do hope to see more of them in this. I'm also a really big Kilowog and Razor fan, and they're both in this book. So very, very cool. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been a great run so far. Next up is Speed Force number 3. And I'm way too excited to talk about this book, but not for the reason you're probably thinking, unless you pay attention very closely during the show. Written by Jarrett Williams, art by Daniel DiNucciolo, Francesco Mortarino, George Combadeus and Tom Dernick, colored by Andrew Dahlhaus and Pete Pantazis, and letter by Dave Sharp. This book has been a lot of fun. I love the whole team up feel of it with the characters chosen and everything. I think it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's been really, really good. However, I have to give it all the credit in the world, and I have to give Jarrett Williams my sincerest thank yous for confirming to us that Chupacabra is not dead, because I will once again state when the creator of Chupacabra died, they did a great issue with him in the book as Chupacabra's uncle and this really great triumphant moment. And I loved it. And then the next time we see Chupacabra, he has a bomb strapped to him and he blows up. And I was like, if that's the end of that character, I am going to punch every DC editor in the face. Thankfully, he's still alive. I love the Bat Pack. I thought they were so much fun. I was a big fan of Titans Academy. And so to see a lot of these characters pop in, I think it's great. I'm very excited to see it. Back on the book, though, I really like it. I'm one of my fastest rising stars as far as my interest goes in superhero comics is Avery Ho. I love the character design and I love the characterization of this book. Character that I knew almost nothing about before this book started. And now I'm just like so excited to find out more about Avery. So this book is 100% doing its job as far as that goes. And the story itself has been really good. So after that is Wesley Dodds, The Sandman number 4. Written by Robert Venditti, art by Riley Rossmo, colored by Ivan Plasinski, and letter by Tom Napolitano. This is one of those issues of this book that makes me so thankful that Riley Rossmo is on this book, because Wesley gets a case of his own medicine. He gets put out by his sleep gas and he starts having these insane visions, and Riley's art is perfect for this shit. Like, there's some really disturbing imagery that I absolutely love in this book. And yeah, what a book. This is a really, really good issue. And this, all these flashback Justice Society's tales have been really great, but this might be the best one. It's up there. It's definitely up there. I really appreciate it. And it's just really good. So yeah. After that is Batman and Robin number 5. I love this book. It's been so much fun. I love Damian. I mean, I think Damian is the best Robin to me. Not the best person who's been Robin, that's Jason. But as far as playing specifically the role of Robin, I think Damian has the best chemistry and the best hook for it because, you know, him being Batman's actual son and such. This one's written by Joshua Williamson, art by Nicholas Zmeja, colored by Rex Locus, and letter by Steve Wands. I love the fact that Damian's actually going to high school now. I think that's amazing. It's just a fun story that I want told. I want him, like when we did the Robin solo book with him, and it was all about him hanging out with other, you know, assassin kids. That was fun. Now we have him hanging out with real kids, and that's even more fun to me. I love him being this fish out of water. I love him being the most skilled person in the entire DC universe, but not knowing how to be a teenager. It's just a great idea. And it's a lot of fun. And Bruce in this is very likable. For someone coming from someone like me who does not like Bruce Wayne at all, I love Bruce in this book. He's just so likable. And he has this thing that gets to me, which is a dad that tries as hard as he can. And I love it. It's just a really great book. It's my Batman book right now. I love it. After that is Outsiders number 3. Script by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. Art by Robert Carey. Colors by Valentina Taddeo. And letter by Tom Napolitano. This is the winner for most anticipated book for us for our End of the Year awards. And it is living up to it. This organization that the Outsiders are, and trying to learn, not just trying to punch bad guys in the face, but trying to learn, is such a unique, cool concept. And this issue just takes it another step, makes it weird, makes it trippy, and it's very cool. I really like this book. I'm not going to get into the hook for it because the hook is the hook. You need to read it to really get it. But man, what a story. I really am thoroughly enjoying this Outsider stuff. I do hope the team expands a little bit. I would like to at least one more person in there. But I do like the team as it is, the three of them. I really, really appreciate what they're doing. And this spotlight for Batwoman is so important because she's such a great character and is often underused. And so I'm very happy to see that. Final DC book of the week is Titans Beast World number 4. So we're continuing the Beast World story. This one is written by Tom Taylor. Art by Lucas Meyer, color by Romeo Fardo Jr., and letter by Wes Abbott. In the middle of this whole Beast World crossover, we have Amanda Waller lurking in the background. And it's very interesting because as someone like myself who just does not like Amanda Waller, I just don't think she's an interesting character. She's been very central to a lot of stuff in DC lately. And this is kind of like I don't like to directly compare things, but I'm getting Green Goblin at the end of Secret Invasion vibes from Amanda Waller. Getting the whole not a good person, but I save the day very publicly. You know, I'm the answer. The heroes are the bad guys. And it makes me uncomfortable because I'm not a big Suicide Squad fan, but I do know the new Suicide Squad's coming out with Dreamer, and I'm going to have to buy it because it's got Dreamer in it, and that's who I am because I'm a bad person, and I just love Dreamer too much. So we'll see. I don't know. Well, I'm going to buy it. I know I will. So, but overall, I've actually been really enjoying Beast World. There's some really interesting ideas in this one about different people transforming. I like the potential fights that are coming. Yeah, just been a really good ride so far. And a pretty shocking end, because I was unsure if something was real or not, and this kind of made it real. We'll see, but yeah, I'm being vague, I know. All right, final publisher is Marvel. And this week I got a stack, so we'll jump in. First of all, the Sentry, number two. This is that new version of the Sentry where his power is being spread amongst multiple people. Written by Jason Liu, art by Luigi Zagaria and David Cutler, colors by Arthur Hesley, and letter by Jokar Magna. This one's really interesting because just like the way the power is working, and because it's the Sentry has a very like, how do I put it? Sentry is never just a good guy. Sentry always had the dark side, the void. And it's almost like his powers are also doing that. It's finding like a very altruistic person and then also a very messed up psychopath, basically. And I really like it. I like the supporting cast a lot. We got the Daughters of the Dragon, which any book with the Daughters of the Dragon is always a good thing for me. And yeah, just this idea of like this level of power, does anyone deserve to have it? It's a well-told story. I've been really digging it. And yeah, I'm curious to see what's going to happen in the end, because having someone with the Sentry powers in the Marvel universe is always a game changer. So this book has the potential to make a major impact on the future of the Marvel universe. So after that is Blade 7, written by Brian Hill, art by Valentina Pinti, colored by KJ Diaz, and letter by Corey Petit. Leading off from the last issue, Blade is called in for a favor for the Hulk, and or for Banner, I should say. And it's really good. It's very much, it fits the aesthetic of the current Hulk run with the level of like creepiness and eeriness and monsters, and very good. I do like how this Blade story is kind of, and I say this as a compliment, this isn't an insult, it's meandering a little bit. Because there's definitely something coming, because we have to resolve the plot from the first volume, but we're meandering around it a little bit. And I think that's very cool, because it's raising the tension for the eventual ending of that story. I think that's really well done. After that is Captain Marvel 4, written by Alyssa Wong, art by John Bazzardua, colored by Brian Valenza and Carlos Lopez, and letter by Ariana Mayer. I really like this issue because we get to see Yuna and Carol like work together to like tag team a problem and, you know, use their specific skills. I thought that's really cool. It's the kind of thing that I always thought the Nega Bands should facilitate more of, is, you know, two people with two different skill sets using those skill sets together to solve one problem. Very cool. Also cameo appearance by the Black Cat, kind of, but it's close enough for me because I love the Black Cat. So, but yeah, really interesting issue. More continuing with Doctor Strange and Clea. And yeah, very curious to see where it's going to go based on the last panel. Seems to be a pretty big moment, but I think it's a dodge personally, but I think that's part of the fun. So yeah. After that is Thunderbolts 2. Written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. Art by Gerardo Borges. Color by Arthur Hesley. And letter by Joe Sabino. After seemingly killing the Red Skull in the last issue, Bucky and team are going after his money. They're going to completely destroy his empire and completely erase him from the planet. And to do that, they have to go to the Hellfire Club, semi-undercover, not really, but kind of, and confront the new White King, which is the Kingpin. It's very interesting to read this one alongside everything going on with the Fall of X. You know, it's just like, on the side of this war against Orcus, I also see the Kingpin being like, also, I'm a criminal guy again. So very funny, but it's been really good. I did really like this issue. It's a really great idea for Thunderbolts. And I do hope the team expands a bit more, because we do get to see Yelena in this issue, which is really great. So, yeah. Next up is Sensational She-Hulk number 4. And you guys know I'm a big She-Hulk fan. I love this run. I love the previous run. I love every run of She-Hulk. Written by Rainbow Rowell, art by Iguara, color by D. Cunniff, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This is kind of dealing with the fallout of what happened between She-Hulk and the Hulk, and the public kind of turning on her. And it's really great. There's also a really great moment with Jack of Hearts. And just, he's adorable. I love him. He's the best boyfriend in all of comics. But it's also a ladies' night out with Carol and Patsy, which is just amazing. I love it. I love these characters. I love each of these characters for different reasons. And there's also an obnoxiously on-the-nose club that I love. I love just these hipster ass clubs. This is just very funny. I really like it. But yeah, She-Hulk has hit the ground running, and everybody should be buying this book. It's Rainbow Rowell's, in my opinion, my favorite Rainbow Rowell comic. It's made me want to read her actual novels, which I've never have, but I've heard good things. So definitely check it out. After that is Avengers number 9, written by Jed McKay, art by Francisco Motorino, color by Federico Blee, and letter by Corey Petit. This is following up on the story where the Mirrodin and the Twilight Court attack the Avengers after putting all of them to sleep, except for Vision and Scarlet Witch. And in the last issue, they had to hold them off by themselves, but they succeeded in waking up the rest of the Avengers, and now the numbers are even. And so we get to see the tide of battle change, which is really cool. It's a great spotlight for these characters, for the Twilight Court, to show what each of them can do and how they match up against the Avengers. But it also highlights how the Avengers are the more, you know, experienced team and working together. So that is how they're able to overcome the odds. And I really like this book. It's been a really great run of Avengers. I love the plot hook we have of Kang dropping all these hints of the things they're going to face before going into a coma. So now we literally have a checklist of things that we're waiting for. And just having them being the protectors of Kang is a really great twist as well on a typical Avengers story. So very good. Love this run. Can't wait for more. Let's talk about some Spidey books. Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2. 1 week after issue 1, we get issue 2, written by Steve Orlando, art by Michael Dowling, color by Jim Campbell, and letter by Corey Petit. In the previous one, of course, dealing with the zombie invasion of the barrio, this is taking us to the moon of all places in 2099, where Miguel comes face to face with Dracula fresh out of his tomb from in the past. And a really cool story that could have just been a straight up punch out, knockout brawl on the moon, but has a story behind it. A different solution other than just beating up the bad guy, which is something I always appreciate. I actually really like this one, and it's very curious to get this story at the same time as what's happening with Dracula over in Blade, getting this new perspective on Marvel's version of Dracula. I think it's very good. And I am loving this run of Miguel O'Hara books dealing with classic movie monsters in the future. Very cool. After that is Giant Size Spider-Man, written by Cody Ziegler, art by Iban Quello, color by Guru EFX, and letter by Joe Caramagna. A very cool story about Venom and Spider-Man, Miles Morales, that is, Spider-Man, teaming up. And this leads directly into Gang War. And I really dig this one. It does bring back Rabble, which is a really interesting character that was introduced recently, and I thought was somebody that definitely had more potential to be used further, which they do in this book. How that's going to tie more into Gang Wars, because it's definitely dealing with Hobgoblin, who has barely been used in Gang Wars so far. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that ties into the larger story. But yeah, really good. It's also got a backup story from Ultimate Spider-Man that was really good as well. After that is, of course, Spider-Gwen Smash number 2. You know I loved it. Written by Melissa Flores, penciled by Anid Balam, colored by Fer Cifuentes Sujo, and inked by Elizabeth D'Amico, and letter by Aaron Mayer. This is the second stop on the tour for the Mary Janes, I should say, and Dazzler in the Uncut Gems. And it of course leads to further attacks on Dazzler. That's the whole point of this tour, is these people attacking and Spider-Gwen being there to help. Really interesting. I really like it. We get the appearance of Pixie. The in this world is the basis for Dazzler and like her best friend. But and there's something going on with her. She's like mind control. She's part of the attacking force. That might give us some hints as to what's happening. But very cool. I really like it. I like the balance of the action versus the tension within the band. Obviously, this version of Mary Jane is kind of ridiculous at times because she's like, we just need to focus on the band while people are getting attacked. But I mean, I get it. It's very fun. I just love Spider-Gwen, and you should too. All right, let's talk about the big one, Ultimate Spider-Man number 1. Okay, written by Jonathan Hickman,
Art by Marco Cecchetto. Color by Matt Wilson. Letter by Corey Petit. It's a new era of Ultimate Comics, and we're starting with Ultimate Spider-Man. And it's a reimagining in this new Ultimate Universe. And I will say that I really enjoy it. I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, Mary Jane and Peter are back together. This is real comics again. And like, just grow up. Like, come on, man. Just enjoy comics. I am happy with the idea of Peter becoming a hero as an adult. Older, making the conscious choice to become a hero. Very different ideas. I also love the fact of, and this is going to be a spoiler review, so just throwing that out there. I love the idea that Aunt May is the one that passed away and Uncle Ben is alive. And exploring this friendship between Uncle Ben and J. Jonah Jameson is just so interesting. Like, seeing Jonah be supportive of Peter was so great. I love Jonah being a legit part of Peter's life and being like someone that we emotionally care about and isn't just an abusive boss. I've always loved that arc. I've always loved that story. And they do that in ASM right now too. But I really like this one. I think it's a very interesting story. And there's so much potential here. Obviously it's Jonathan Hickman, who is just, you know, probably the greatest Marvel writer in the past 20 years. I mean, that's probably arguable, I guess. But yeah, great start. I'm very curious to see what we're going to get from the other books, but, definitely if you're a Spider-Man fan, this is 100% a book to pick up and be in on the ground floor for. All right, let's talk Gang War. Gang War, Daredevil 2, written by Erica Schultz, penciled by Sergio DeVia, inked by Sean Parsons, colored by Cesar de la Cruz, lettered by Clayton Cowles. This is continuing Elektra's story against the gang called The Heat. And this mysterious assassin. And I'm very curious to see what's going to come from this, because tiny spoiler, in the fight with Elektra, the assassin pulls out claws that look like Laura Wolverine's. And what's going to happen there? The thing is, there's like three Lauras running around right now, but they're all accounted for. I'm counting Honey Badger and that scout, but they're all accounted for. So I don't know what's happening there, but if there's one thing we know, it's not hard to clone a Wolverine. They've made that pretty clear in the comics. So maybe we're getting another one, an evil one, and we'll see, but very cool. Very interesting. I love Daredevil, or Elektra as Daredevil. I think it's just a really great story. And I love the touch that, of course, she knows that Matt is back, but she's given him space. And when that leads to something else, I'm very excited to see what it's going to be. Next up, Gang War Luke Cage number 3, written by Rodney Barnes, art by Roman Box, colored by Andrew Dahlhaus, and letter by Travis Lanham. This is, of course, continuing the story of Luke Cage and his team, his street team, against Spencer Smythe. So it's, of course, Luke and Jessica, Danny, and Cloak and Dagger. I'm really liking this, even though Luke's outfit is kind of funny to me. It's very strange, but it's good. It's been a really great run. I do think it's interesting that, like, that Danny, without the Iron Fist powers, is still a badass, but I haven't seen him do much yet, and I really want to see him do some awesome martial arts shit. As a big Iron Fist fan, again, I've said in the past, I'm a huge Heroes for Hire fan. So that's just a personal want, but it's not a criticism or anything. It's just something I'd like to see. But yeah, been really good. I like this part of Gang War, with the added complication that Luke Cage, of course, is the mayor of New York City and breaking the law right now. Very curious to see what the end result of this is going to be. Is that law going to be repealed? Is it going to be removed as the mayor? Is he going to be replaced? Like, lots of great things that can come out of this. And yeah, I just want to see what's going to happen. Final Gang War book of the week is Miles Morales Spider-Man number 15, the Remy award-winning best Spider-Man book of the year, I should say. Written by Cody Ziegler, art by Federico Vicentini and Federica Mancini, colored by Brian Valenza and lettered by Corey Petit. So Miles and his team have to team up with the Cape Killers to to basically fight the gang war, to do what they need to do to survive gang war, to take down the bad guys. And I think it's really interesting. We get to see him cooperate with the Prowler a bit. And the last issue, we got kind of a tease that Prowler's returned as a bad guy, but we get the revelation that he's actually trying to do the right thing, that he's undercover for the good guys, which I think is a really great decision. Just making him a bad guy again would feel really short-sighted, but I didn't think they were going to do that. Honestly, that didn't feel like something Cody would do. But I really like it. I love the art for this run. I don't talk about it enough, but the art for this run is really crazy and good. It's very frenetic. It's got a lot of kinetic energy to it. There's movement. There's a lot of stuff going on, but it's not overwhelming. I just really like that. All right, some X-Men books. Let's talk about Wolverine 41. This one is starting the Sabretooth War. It's part one of the Sabretooth War. This is written by Victor Laval and Benjamin Percy. Pencils by Jeff Shaw and Corey Smith. Inks by Jeff Shaw and Oren Jr. Color by Alex Sinclair and letter by Corey Petit. So this book, I'm going to give a quick warning. This is the most violent Marvel book I've read in a very long time. It's personally not my cup of tea. I'll just be flat out honest. I'm going to keep reading it because I love the X-Men. I need to know everything that's happening. And plot-wise, it's very important. But for me, I don't like the hyper-violence. I understand that's part and parcel for Wolverine book. So this is not a criticism. And in fact, this is going to be exactly what some people want, and more power to them. Read it. You'll probably love it. I just personally don't like hyper-violence. And it's also involving characters that I really care about quite a bit. And so I'm still, it sounds funny, but I'm still sensitive coming out of the Fall of Krakoa. And seeing these characters hurt very badly is very strange. I'm also not a big Sabretooth fan. That's the other thing. So we'll see. It's interesting. It's enjoyable. I like the plot. There's just, like, again, the violence against characters I really enjoyed that is kind of bothering me a little bit. But that's just a personal thing. It's not a criticism. The quality of what's done is great. In fact, the art is absolutely insane and is totally worthy of praise if it's your thing. And so if that sounds like something for you, check it out. Final book of the week is The Rise of the Powers of X. Written by Karen Gillan, art by R.B. Silva, colored by David Curiel, and letter by Clayton Cowles. So this is, oh my God, I can't even talk about it without spoiling it. Of course, this is the companion to the Fall of the House of X. And just like Hoxpox, this is the Powers of X one where we're jumping into the future, jumping into, you know, potentials. And yeah, how do I put this? We're going to, there's some wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey stuff going on, and it's all around this sinister dominion that has been established. And there's a good chance that a lot of stuff could be wiped out, including all of Krakoa, which would be crazy. But it would be one way to get around the story that we have ourselves in of Krakoa and get everything back to square one. I don't think I would like that if it happens, but it's a smart way to do it if you want to do it. But very cool. Lots of features of characters that I really enjoy doing really cool stuff. Gambit gets a really dope moment that kind of shows like the true potential of Gambit's power that we never get to see. Yeah, just really, really great. I definitely enjoyed it. I'm so curious to see where we're going between House and Powers. What's going to happen? It makes me nervous. I'll just be straight honest. I'm very nervous. So anyways, that is all the issues that I had this week. Make sure to check me out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Hostway at Hostway Reads Hostway. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast on Twitter. That's the best place to keep up with us. You'll get an announcement whenever a new episode comes out. You'll get a timestamp for every publisher and a list of every issue reviewed. So it is the best time, our best way to keep up with what we're here doing. Make sure to follow our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. That is our musical show where we talk about different categories. Our most recent episode that came out was last month's Christmas episode, where we just talk about the history of Christmas music and the songs we really like. The next episode that's going to be coming up near the end of the month is about boy bands. We're going to talk about the history of boy bands. What makes a boy band? Are boy bands good? What songs do we like from boy bands? All of that stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. So once again, follow us on Twitter at Jukebox Vertigo for that. Also follow Josue at Josue Plays Josue on Twitch. He is not streaming at the moment, but when he does, I know he'll be very happy to have a bunch of new followers. And when he does stream, he is a blast. He is my favorite Twitch to follow. And it's not just because he's my buddy. So finally, check out our network for Jukebox Vertigo, Certain POV. You can find them on Twitter at Certain POV Media. You can also find them at certainpov.com. Check them out. There's so many great podcasts on there. I'm a big fan of almost all of them. I've listened to a whole bunch of them. I've guest started a bunch of them too. It's just a lot of fun. And also check out the Discord. There is a link at both of those locations for the Discord. We have a blast on there talking about everything nerdy, comics. We talk about video games, TV shows, tabletop games. We even have a food channel now where we just take pictures of all the food we make, which you know I love because I am a foodie. But yeah, make sure to check that out once again at CertainPOV Media on Twitter and at CertainPOV.com. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week in the new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Video games are a unique medium.
They can tell stories.
Immerse us in strange, fantastic worlds.
Blur the very boundaries of our reality.
But at the end of the day, video games are fun, whatever fun is to you.
I'm Jeff Moonen.
And I am Matt, a.k.a. Stormageddon.
And on Fun and Games, we talk about the history, trends, and community of video games.
It's a celebration of all the games we play and all the fun we find within them.
And there's so many more games out there. So we hope you'll share in that conversation with us.
Fun and Games podcast with Matt and Jeff. Find us on CertainPOV.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And happy gaming.